Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
So the most important thing is to get inside the head of day one with questions like, what an interesting role. What are you working on at the moment? Congrats on the new job. What do you foresee as the biggest challenge in the next couple of weeks? What's on your desk right now? Things like that, so that you can be seen to be running alongside them, not just to be seen, but to get them to feel that you are running alongside them and you're prepared to meet them where they are right now.
With today's guest, Johnny Cooper, we will explore transformative career journeys, the power of adaptability, and the evolving landscape of consulting. Johnny shares insights on navigating change, building meaningful client relationships, and finding new opportunities in the world of corporate well-being. You'll discover strategies for breaking through barriers, fostering collaboration, and embracing a mindset of continuous growth. This conversation is filled with practical takeaways and inspiration for anyone ready to elevate their business and embrace new possibilities. Now let's welcome Johnny Cooper. With an eclectic background ranging from professional musician to financial services and corporate consulting, Johnny now helps consultants win lucrative corporate engagements. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. It's great to be here.
Can we start off by hearing a little bit of the details of your career and in particular, how you managed some of the transitions, of which you had several very interesting ones along the way?
Yeah, well, it's been a long career, so I hope we've got a long time for this. I'll do the short version. I was a musician in my 20s and gave that up when I realized that I wasn't prepared to be broke forever. I didn't want to be that struggling artist. And there was a pivotal moment, actually, when my motor car of choice at the time finally gave up the ghost in the middle of a rather busy high street in South London. And I called my friend and he rolled up with his truck and we got all my musical gear, my keyboards and amplifiers and things out the back of my car, stuck it in his truck and drove off and just left the car there. To my knowledge, it was there a couple of days and the police towed it away, did me a favour. And that was a literal and a symbolic transition from a life as a struggling artist into something more lucrative, shall we say. And I answered an advert in a local newspaper, well, actually the London Evening newspaper, to say, closers wanted, it said. Closers wanted. £1,000 a week. I thought, that sounds magnificent. What I could do with £1,000 a week. I had no idea, David, what a closer was at that point. It was not in my vernacular at all. I went along for the job. And thankfully...
And you got hired.
I got hired. They either took pity on me or they saw a spark of something, God knows what. And I was actually selling home improvements. So fitted kitchens and bathrooms and things like that for quite some years. And I actually excelled at that. And one of the fellas that I met in that business really was responsible for the next big pivot in my life, which was into financial services. Because he said, look, you know, selling kitchens is a kind of finite job. You can only sell so many in any given week. And if you want some exponential revenue, let's think about financial services, where your earnings are only capped by the earnings of your average client, potentially. So you know, if you work with multimillionaires in financial services, you might become a multimillionaire yourself with a bit of luck. So we founded a business, an agency of financial services advisory firm. And I ran that for 7 years and we actually grew it to the point where we sold it. We had an offer from a public company. And at that point, we had 200 staff with 8 offices around the UK and just over £10 million sterling turnover. So in US dollars, it's about 15 million, isn't it? Something like that. And that was a really interesting lesson, so many lessons. Primarily around sales and marketing for growth, around how to acquire leads for a service-based business like that. And also importantly, how to groom a business for exit, for sale. That was a huge lesson. And following that, I was asked onto the board of quite a few companies and organizations who knew of me in those days to help them with their business, to grow them, scale them, and exit. And I was lucky enough over the next 10 years to be on the board of quite a few interesting companies, some startups, some a little bit more mature. And that took me through to about 2017, I guess, where I'd done quite a lot of corporate consulting. And I decided that I wanted to help other coaches and consultants to build a thriving practice for themselves. And I got that rolling in 2017 by working with individual coaches, the same kind of client that our good friend Mark at the Coaching Jungle works with. And I sold quite a few programs and courses and helped loads and loads of coaches on the path to sort of getting started and earning money from their skills. And then I pivoted again in May last year when I decided to, without sounding elitist, decided to kind of top slice my community and work with the most ambitious coaches and therapists who are already well-equipped to work with companies and organizations. And that's my current business. It's called CIB Global Consultants in Business. And it is geared towards helping coaches and consultants to win lucrative corporate engagements using all my experience that I've gathered over many, many years of doing exactly that. And, you know, the basis for corporate consulting, I guess, versus one-on-one working with individual clients is that you can get more impact more quickly by working with larger numbers of people. And that oftentimes leads to deeper engagements, which pay more, as well as longer-term engagements. I mean, my motto in corporate consulting is no cul-de-sacs. You know, stop selling the dead end and start thinking about becoming a trusted advisor to the company or organization and work with them long-term. When you hit this off, it does some wonderful things. Firstly, you earn more money more quickly while you're doing it. But secondly, it lessens the need for ongoing marketing and sales because you can keep the same handful of clients over the long haul. And it's not unusual to land multi-year agreements with the right corporate client once you get your foot in the door. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. That's where I am today. My singular goal now is to change the world of corporate well-being. So the consultants that I've taken on board into the CIB world, and there are 65 of them so far, they're all committed to well-being in some form or another. So maybe things like reducing absenteeism and sickness, improving mental health, improving staff retention, improving productivity, all those kind of nice kind of softer things that many consulting firms are not so focused on. As you probably know, what's renowned as the Big Four consulting firms, they'll generally be working on, you know, operations and sales and strategies and things like that. Whereas we say, well, that's all very well, KPMG, but if the people in the organization are not engaged with it, if communication is breaking down, if leadership is ineffective, if they'd rather be off sick at home than being at work, then the best plans and strategies are not going to be effective. So we believe we have a very important role to play, and corporate well-being is becoming more and more renowned these days in companies and organizations, and budgets being carved out for it. You know, the desire to actually work on the well-being of the staff seems to be coming up the agenda nicely.
Corporate well-being is certainly very critical. And I'm glad that to hear that not only are you focused on it, but that it is something that companies are paying attention to.
Yeah. It's really noticeable to me to see change, certainly in the last 5 years, from well-being just being a tick box exercise or kind of nice to have, or commonly it's been kind of bundled in with HR. So you'll see hybrid roles, you know, with HR and well-being manager. Well, these days you're seeing more and more bespoke, singular roles for well-being manager and head of people, even chief happiness officer and ephemeral titles like that.
Yeah, I love the title. Johnny, I want to go back to something that you experienced earlier in your career, and I'm sure this dovetails with what you're doing coaching consultants now, which is that kind of initial connection that consultants are trying to make with their ideal client. And in particular, a common path for somebody who becomes a consultant, they develop their skills and their expertise as a corporate employee. Often it's for a long time, I would say, like, you know, 20 to 40 years. And then they reach a point in their career where they would much rather be independent. So they go out on their own, yet they often struggle to find the kinds of corporate clients that actually used to employ them full time. And then they struggle to make a living as a corporate consultant. As you described in your career, you started a lot of new things and gained traction. What were some of the keys in your case for gaining traction as a corporate consultant, particularly given what your background was before that?
Yeah, it's a great question, David. I think it's about always having an instinct for the biggest challenge that your potential client is facing. I don't mean generically, I mean specifically and right now. So opening questions for conversations are absolutely critical. It's no use throwing generic pictures at people. It's no use productizing your services too early, expecting people to be really excited about your shiny new end-to-end program that you've created. Because that's not about them, that's about you. That's about something you've done in a darkened room without any reference to them. So the most important thing is to get inside their head at day one with questions like, what an interesting role. What are you working on at the moment? Congrats on the new job. What do you foresee as the biggest challenge in the next couple of weeks? What's on your desk right now? Things like that, so that you can be seen to be running alongside them, not just to be seen, but to get them to feel that you are running alongside them and you're prepared to meet them where they are right now. And we call this process in its full form, and there's a lot more to it as it develops, but we call that process consultative selling. And it literally speaks to the word consultant. You can't be a consultant and be a product salesperson. That's not what consulting is all about. It's about understanding what your ideal client needs and wants right now, what's keeping them awake at night right now, asking them questions about that, asking them more and more questions, really simple questions like, what else? What else? What else? What else them to death until they go, well, that's about it. And you go, great. If I can help you with all that, can we continue the conversation? And it's that style of approach that, number one, conversational, but number two, having them believe from minute one that you get, that you understand them. Everybody wants to be understood first and foremost, don't they? A confused mind never buys. And to be sitting there talking with a corporate leader, an HR manager, and having them feel, do you know what? Johnny gets me, David gets me. That will open the door to the Pandora's box. Is that a mixed metaphor? I'm not sure. The Pandora's boxes even have doors, I'm thinking. But it will open the door to the riches, won't it? Because you'll be having a conversation then about what they want rather than what you have to sell. And that's it, end to end, basically.
Johnny, one of the things that I hear a lot in today's world with kind of the chaos and complexity that's going on is companies and the decision makers inside companies being slow or reluctant to make a decision. And that, you know, decision in the case of consultants who are trying to get engaged is the engagement of the consultant, right? Which sometimes leads to ghosting of the, right, of the consultant with its prospective client. How do you recommend that consultants get the ear of the decision maker when there's so much noise out there? There's so many different ways to communicate, and it seems really hard to break through that and get the person who actually needs to listen to these questions to just get on a call with you.
I mean, look, it's not going to work all the time, David, and you're absolutely right. People have got other things to do. sometimes all-consuming things, which doesn't give them any headspace at all to communicate with us as their potential saviour, if you like. But when you do have an open door, I think it's important to go in with something, again, which demonstrates that you understand them. At least you've taken a little bit of time to try and work out what they're in, what they're doing. And one of the great things about corporate consulting is that there's so much data out there. We've created a white paper, which we update pretty much weekly with new studies, new surveys, new reports from global thought leaders like Deloitte, like KPMG, PwC, all these enormous organizations that just do surveys and studies and things. And you can pluck industry and sector specific data that matches the prospect that you're talking to. So, for example, I mean, we've recently broken into a national government, and we've sounded a bit bad at that. We've actually broken into the building. You get the idea. We've actually got an engagement or a contract with the civil service, the national government of an entire country. And one of the ways that we did that was we did some research as to rates of absenteeism in civil service, in national governments. And we were able, because we knew how many people work for the civil service and what their average salary was, we were actually able to go to them at day one without any data from them, any feedback from them, and give them an estimate, our estimate from the outside, of the cost of absenteeism. And do you know what? We were pretty much there. We were within 5% of the actual cost of absenteeism every year. And it was many millions, many tens of millions, in fact. And they were so impressed by that the conversation continued. And clearly, if it was a piece of data that our contact there was aware of, it wasn't something that was front and center of their mind. And when we brought it into their mind and made them focus on it, they went, okay, so how much of that do you think we can save if we do well-being better? And the conversation was going. The conversation was open. I would strongly suggest that a metric involving cost or extra profit, if it's a private company, is always going to get the conversation going, provided you're credible, provided you've got the data from somewhere and you can back it up. We have one or two CEOs saying the equivalent of, holy cow, I didn't realise. Okay, let's talk. And that's where the magic is. Because if you're too ephemeral with all this lot, and you're too woolly about it and vague, and you know, do you realise that, you know, if your staff are happier, they'll work harder? I mean, you know, that doesn't fly, does it? Because people just go, tell me something I didn't know, you know. So I would say a data-driven approach is always going to open doors more effectively than not.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Johnny, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about community and collaboration.
Okay.
And I wondered how community collaboration or peer support may have played a role in your own personal growth.
Well, a pivotal role, yeah. I have never been shy to surround myself with much smarter people than me. You know, the old cliche about, you know, find a different room if you're the smartest person in the room. I never want to be the smartest person anywhere. I revel in conversations with mentors, with people who've got more experience and knowledge and skills, talent, for God's sake, than I have. That's how you learn. I mean, in terms of community, I think I've built probably four fairly significant communities of coaches and consultants. I mean, the thing with the consultancy business I'm in now is we have two client avatars. You know, we have the coaches and consultants who are training, getting up to speed and all the stuff we've talked about so far. And then CIB is itself landing corporate clients, and we are matching our consultants to engagement roles with those corporate clients. But certainly in terms of getting coaches together, coaches thrive on community because it's a very lonely solopreneur's journey otherwise, isn't it? Well, I built a Facebook group up to 7,500 members. We have a much more intentional and kind of deliberate community now in CIB. We have 65 consultants, but they're all spending time with each other. We have regular hangouts, we have WhatsApp chat groups. We do everything we can to endanger and encourage community and some mutual support. They're also sharing leads, in fact, and sharing client engagements. When a client requires more than one consultant, they'll bring in some of their peers from the CIB community. So I would say CIB is primarily about communities predicated on skilled consultants who are on the same journey together and more than keen to support each other.
And Johnny, what methods have you found most successful for yourself when you're looking for community and or in the communities that you've created for these kinds of peer collaborations and thinking partnerships to actually develop well and kind of gain hold?
Yeah, I would say be intentional, decide who you want in the community, and more importantly, decide who you don't want in the community. So, you know, raise that bar and have a barrier to entry. We actually have an entry, an application form for CIB now where they have to describe where they've been, what they've been doing, what their experience is, how many clients they have, how many clients they've worked with. Questions like, what's the largest client engagement you've won so far and that kind of thing. So in terms of our community, you know, we're very clear that we're looking for skilled and experienced practitioners who have had at least some background in corporate consulting. So once you start to become clear what the criteria are for entry to community and who you are prepared to reject just by saying, obviously politely, I don't think this is for you just yet, you know, keep going and look back in a year or two and see where we are, you know. So it's about knowing who your ideal client is and who you want in the community. We all like to hang out with people like us, but it's less comfortable walking into a room full of strangers, isn't it, where everybody's doing something different. There are use cases for that, I suppose, you know, if you want to start meeting mavericks and learning from completely different people. But most online communities are not like that. They just want to see that there are people around them just like them and potentially a few steps ahead.
Johnny, is there a resource mindset or next step that you wish you'd have had earlier in your career?
It's been interesting these last few years, hasn't it? Because new things happening. I mean, I've lived through the dawn of the internet, the dawn of social media and the evolution of. And now, of course, we're hugely privileged to be alive at the dawn of the age of AI. So I would say having a learning mindset, having a growth mindset rather than a fixed mindset is what served me best over the years rather than any specific resource. It's just been that ability to go, that's interesting, let me find out some more about that. You know, moving away from that fixed mindset, as in, you know, one of my consultants said to me this morning, I'm not particularly techie. Well, you know, that's just a proxy for laziness, in my view. Not being prepared to learn something important and falling back on, I'm not particularly techie as a crutch. I would say, don't do that, be the opposite. You know, if something looks useful yet difficult, then learn how to do it. Learn how to do it and embrace it and move forward with it. I've been asked in my home country of Gibraltar. I live in Gibraltar in the Mediterranean. I've been asked to speak at the Federation of Small Businesses on AI. AI, you'd think, wouldn't you? Mostly populated by young people, isn't it? So in the 20s and 30s. And yet here I am, being recognised as somebody who knows a little bit more about AI than most of the people in the room. And that's only because I've used it every day. I've published articles on prompting, all that kind of stuff, you know. So the short answer to your question is probably no one resource other than the ability to reinvent myself and learn new stuff when it's needed.
Yeah, certainly that, you know, it's a mindset or an approach.
Yeah.
That is, right, that's really important. Johnny, we've covered a lot of really important topics for consultants and coaches in a short amount of time. If somebody wants to go deeper with anything that we've touched on, access any resources you have or get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
Best place to go is just look up cib.global. That's the URL. My email address is Johnny, J-O-N-N-Y, at cib.global. So I tend to be quite responsive to emails. I can't stand having an overflowing inbox. Deal with stuff when it arrives. So yeah, hit me up. Let's talk. It's a very, very interesting time to be in corporate wellbeing, I can tell you.
It sure is. Johnny, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share some great insights.
My pleasure.
My guest today has been Johnny Cooper with CIB Global. Johnny, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.